You think you could beat us at fantasy football? How about Matt Harmon or Marcus Grant from NFL? Dynasty Nerds. Think you could beat the Football Fellows? Think you could beat the Clock Dodgers podcast? Well, this is the time to find out. Sleeper Wire is hosting its annual Pro-Am League, and we've got listener spots available. You'll be playing against podcasts and experts from the fantasy world, Roto Experts, Dynasty Happy Hour, Sleeper Bot, Fantasy Life, Eat Sleep Fantasy. They're all in the Pro-Am, and this is your chance to play against them. All you have to do, go to sleeperwire.com/Pro-Am, P-R-O-A-M. Make a donation to SleeperWire's cause. Our good friend Rob, battling chronic Lyme disease, donate $10. $10 gets you an entry into a raffle. The names picked will play in the Pro-Am against these experts. Go to sleepwire.com/Pro-Am for details and how to enter. Go today.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the Sleeper Wire Podcast. Yeah, come on! Woo! That's right, I am your host, Nick Sumrall, getting all jazzed up because we got a mock draft for you guys again tonight. That's right, Monday, it's all about the mock drafts up until the season, but I don't do this shit alone. That's right, I do this with my co-hosts, Mike, and our producer, Steve, is joining us on the show today. What is up, fellas?
What's happening, man? How are we doing this evening?
Not too bad, man. Steve, how about you, man? Picking the 12th spot after me in this mock draft. What is that about? You trying to take the guys I want?
Well, you're in front of me, so I don't know how I would do that. But
well, you know, because I might pick the one guy ahead of you, but then you're going to get, you know, probably two guys I would really want afterwards. You know, I see your game, Steve.
Okay? Actually, I'm gonna try a different strategy this time. It's probably one, not one that I'd actually ever use, but I'm going to try it to see what happens.
Okay. All right. Sexy. Sounds good. You know, so I love doing mock drafts, guys. We're doing today a 12-team PPR. It's exciting. It's basic standard what you would expect, you know. But, and it is my turn, by the way. Ugh. Damn it, Gustavus took Melvin Gordon. That's who I was going to pick. But, you know, I still see a guy I really like. I'll take Jordy Nelson. So, you know, what's exciting about doing the 12-team PPR is that, you know, it's kind of what everybody does. It's been the norm. You know, I don't see a whole lot of standard leagues, nor do I really play in standard leagues. So, wow, okay, that was pretty interesting that you went with that.
I think that's a really nasty 1-2 punch right there. I like it.
That's a really nice combination. I agree. Okay, I'm gonna go with my boy Jordan Howard. You know, because it just wouldn't be me if I didn't. But I'll tell you what, though, and I'll be honest. So I've been talking about my league, and I know it's like annoying probably to people who listen to this show constantly. But I talked about my league where it's a keeper league, and I have,
Jordan Howard.
I have a keeper. Wow. Ooh, I have Jordan Howard. That's right. I have Jordan Howard as my last pick in the draft. Sorry, I'm getting distracted with all everybody's picks. It's getting exciting in here. We're going to be covering it all. But I just want to finish up. You know, in this type of setting, if this was the way the draft was going now, more than likely I've been getting Jordy Nelson, Michael Thomas on the turn. So that would be my 1-2 punch with Jordan Howard as my last pick. But, you know, this isn't really drafting as my league. So, Steve, why don't you tell us, Devontae Freeman, DeMarco Murray. You went with both guys. I like both running backs. They have question marks, of course, at this point in the draft. Pretty much after Melvin Gordon, a lot of these running backs are going to have question marks. But what made you feel comfortable going Devontae Freeman, DeMarco Murray?
I like the offensive lines of both these teams. So I'm going to try a new little strategy. I'm going to really, because you talked about this before. You look at offensive lines for running backs. So I'm trying to look at the best offensive line rankings like right now preseason and make some adjustments to my running backs based on that.
Okay. I mean, listen, I don't think you're going to go wrong, especially in the way people are drafting this year, it seems like the running backs, it's getting crazy. Everybody's going heavy RB early. So getting two stud running backs like that is not a bad way to go. There's going to be plenty of wide receivers most likely by the time it turns to you. I don't know. Maybe guys like Keenan Allen might be there for you at the end. You know, guys like that. So it's not a bad way to go. Mike, you also went running back, running back. LeSean McCoy, great pick. He's especially for PPR. There's been talk about him getting more receptions. I even saw a report suggest, you know, it was probably hype, but they were suggesting he could be the leading receiver on the team. I don't know about all that. I mean, you know, but then again, I'm not a Sammy Watkins fan. He never stays healthy, so I see it being possible. But so what made you go with LeSean McCoy and then Todd Gurley in the second round, Mike?
I like LeSean McCoy. I mean, you don't really got to explain him. He is a beast when he can stay healthy. A little bit of injury concern there, especially to pay first-round capital. Backing into Todd Gurley, I really wanted another solid running back, although he kind of let me down last year as far as statistics go, but I think he actually is set up for a bounce back year. I think with the different coaching strategy and everything going on in Los Angeles right now, I think he's actually going to be set up to do a little bit better this year. I don't think he's going to do anything great, but as far as what you were saying, getting the running backs early, there's not a whole lot of running backs I like after this point right here that I think are going to give me wide or running back one talent.
Okay. Fair enough. I think there's a lot of potential for busts around this time, especially, you know, we have Chist Cannon, Kisk, I don't know how to pronounce it. CHST Cannon. I'm not a JGI supporter. He's been one of my big busts of this season that I'm predicting for this season. So, you know, I think there's bound to be some guys that bust around this point. Is there anybody, Mike, that you've looked at running back wise that you think will be a bust at this point in rounds 2 and 3 that are getting drafted now?
You know, I don't really like JGI. He's one guy that I'm right there on board with. Yeah. Marshawn Lynch, there's too much speculation around him for me to feel comfortable for paying that kind of a draft value for him in the second round. I mean, you can see the guy's a Raiders fan, so maybe a little bit of hometown going on there. But then he follows that up with Demaryius Thomas, so obviously he probably has his fantasy mind intact too. It's just those are the two guys that I'm not picking up. I'm not getting them in any of my drafts because they're too high of a price for their production value. Marshawn Lynch could just prove me very wrong. I'm really not that worried about it. I have a feeling he's going to come back into the next couple of years and he's going to, or after taking a couple of years off and find out that the NFL's a little bit faster than it was the last time he was here.
Well, you know, listen, I don't agree. I mean, because let's face it, Marshawn Lynch only took 1 year off. Let's just start there. So that's not like a whole lot of time. But, you know, when we last saw Marshawn Lynch, he was in his beast mode self anyways in 2015. He was trailing off, you know, and then got injured. So, you know, yeah, I see your point, but I think that he's coming into a situation that's better than where he was in Seattle when we last saw him. So I don't know. I'm not really on the board of saying Marshawn Lynch is going to be a bust. I really think that I just wish he wasn't going in the second round. I'd love to get him. Love to get him like where my pick is coming up. You know, if I can get him at the end of the third round, I would be in love with taking Marshawn Lynch right now.
See, but, I feel like it belongs with the category of like maybe eighth or ninth round. To me,
I mean,
it'll never happen, right?
Right. Who wouldn't love that though?
For me to draft him, that's where it'd have to be.
Okay. Well, I mean, who wouldn't love him there? You know.
Right.
I mean,
yeah, no doubt about it.
Right.
For the speculative ad, that's where I would start feeling comfortable drafting Marshawn Lynch this year.
Yeah. I mean, so it's up to me, and I'm seeing there's some analysis. See, this is one of the great things about Sleeperbot. This is where we're doing the mock draft, by the way, tonight, folks. You know, I'm pulling up Keenan Allen, and it's saying he was held out of practice Friday. Had a bit of a sore calf, you know, which is a little alarming, but, you know, a sore calf is not really anything to concern yourself with. He should be okay as long as they're holding him out a little bit. So I'm going to take him here in the end of the third. I like Keenan Allen. I know he's a lot of risk with his health, but, you know, I just have the faith that maybe he'll be able to stay healthy this year. And if he does, you know, in a PPR setting, he's a beast. And see, and another guy here, you know, who's a little bit questionable. There's some stories out there about him losing his job to, well, not losing, but, you know, Jeremy Hill starting the season. But I'm not buying into the hype. I think Joe Mixon's got the job. He's looked the best of the running backs. I know Jeremy Hill's not going to go away completely, but I still think that Joe Mixon's got this job. He has the most talent of the backs there in Cincinnati. What do you think, Steve, about Joe Mixon?
I think fourth round is as early as I would grab for him, especially in a 12-man league, 10-man even later. I'm just not willing to take the risk on a rookie running back with the not a great offensive line. And, you know, it's not like their division is lacking for defenses. Pittsburgh has got a pretty good defense. Baltimore's got a pretty good defense. Cincinnati might be able to run against the Browns, but I don't know if it's going to be such an easy year for Cincinnati to score a lot of points. I would rather, in that fourth round, grab like a Danny Woodhead. A little bit more proven commodity.
Maybe Danny Woodhead. I definitely wouldn't have taken Carlos Hyde like Gustabus took after me. Carlos Hyde is somebody I am staying away from completely. You know, so I will not own Carlos Hyde on any of my teams. Maybe that'll make me look foolish. But, you know, the way I look at Joe Mixon is he's a guy who's going to be, you know, catching balls from Andy Dalton, too. He's not just going to be a guy they count on to run it. I really think he'll be that three-down back that they wanted, you know, that they were trying to form between a Jeremy Hill, Giovanni Bernard connection that just never worked. I do think he has the talent to be a three-down back. I don't know if it'll be early on. That's why maybe if in late rounds I can grab a handcuff in Jeremy Hill, maybe I'll do that. But we'll just have to wait and see. Let me just tell everybody, so, you know, update everybody on how the draft has been going since we haven't done that in a bit. First round went as typical as it could. About everybody you're seeing go in the first round went in the first round. You know, then DeMarco Murray, Jordan Howard, Michael Thomas, J.J., Todd Gurley, Amari Cooper, T.Y. Hilton, Gronk, Marshawn, Dez, Brandon Cooks, DeAndre Hopkins. That was your second round. So then, you know, Christian McCaffrey, Leonard Fournette, Lamar Miller. I mean, these are all guys that we're seeing. I mean, we're not seeing anything typically different than what we've probably been mocking so far. I mean, Ty Montgomery in the third, Mike, I think that's high. You know, you want to talk about running backs that I wouldn't take. You know, Ty Montgomery's a guy. I definitely don't want that early. In the third, what were you thinking there?
Well, that was, you know, that puts him ahead of, like, C.J. Anderson, Spencer Ware, Dalvin Cook. There really wasn't – I was sitting on Isaiah Crowell right there, and he went two spots right before that. I'm going running back heavy on this one. I'm trying to get as many good running backs as I possibly can, and I really like, actually, Ty Montgomery's PPR opportunity this year. I think he's going to be – one of the guys, and I knew he wasn't going to fall to me in the next round.
I see. I think he's just going to end up being their third down back. I don't feel like he's going to be a three down back for them. I don't think he has the body or the style to be a three down back. I know last year he was kind of doing it, you know, but really when you break down the numbers, he, you know, once he became their running back, he wasn't getting targeted in the passing game. The most he got in the last 8 weeks was 5 targets in the passing game. So PPR, I mean, that's not that good.
Yeah, and they're talking about the rookie, Williams, seems to be
right,
picking up the pass protection quite a bit better, which is something they wanted in a running back that didn't seem like Montgomery was quite getting the hang of yet, or wasn't big enough.
Right, and that's the thing that makes me concerned. That's why, also, I wouldn't take Ty Montgomery in the third round. But, you know, I mean, listen, Mike, it's your team. You do what you want to do. I just personally would never be comfortable taking Ty Montgomery in the third round. He probably isn't a guy I'll own on any of my teams this year, honestly.
I really like his PPR opportunity this year. I mean, I get your apprehension. I totally do, but I think you're off.
But you think though he's going to get targeted more than five times a game?
I think he's going to actually. I mean, the guy's a receiver first and foremost. That's what we can't forget right there is he's a receiver. So
Green Bay seemed to forget he was a receiver in the last 8 weeks.
Right, but I mean. I think he's just going to be – I think you're going to see him be a PPR monster this year, and I think he's going to actually get the lion's share of the workload. Williams, he's good, but I don't really see him fitting in with the system right away.
Okay. So, you know, and then, Steve, you've been really going an interesting route here. We got to break it down. So, you know, I liked your two running back picks. You went Aaron Rodgers in the third round, which, okay, I mean, you weren't going to get Aaron Rodgers past – You know, if you didn't pick him either third or fourth, since you were in the swing pick, So he wouldn't have made it to you outside of there. So I get that if you really wanted Aaron Rodgers, that's why you grabbed him. But I mean, you went Aaron Rodgers, then you went Travis Kelce. I mean, so are you just punting wide receiver at this point?
No, I told you I'm trying a different strategy. I said this isn't exactly probably how I will draft, but I'm trying something different. Mm-hmm. I'm waiting on wide receiver as late as I can, and I want to see what I get. I probably will wait two more rounds, actually. And I want to see what's available, deep in the draft. And see if I'm happy with it.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm going to try something.
Okay. All right, you try that. I went with Amir Abdullah in my fifth round pick. I feel like I got my wide receivers in Jordy Nelson, Keenan Allen. I'm happy there with my receivers at the moment. There's a name that's kind of making me go, ooh, you know, maybe I could grab him, but... Actually, no. Oh, you know what? Actually, no. Gus the Bus took my damn pick that I wanted. I wanted Jameson Crowder, but that was taken from me. So I could go, you know, guys, I don't know about you, how you guys feel, but I am not on the Willie Snead bandwagon like everybody else. I think he's a good receiver. I think he could be a decent bye week fill in, maybe to get you, 8 points, maybe, but I don't see him like the guy that everybody else seems to think of him. I mean, am I off here, Mike? What are you thinking?
I actually don't think that you are. I'm also not a huge fan of any New Orleans receivers. It's always so hit or miss.
Even Michael Thomas?
Even Michael Thomas. I really don't like him that much. I had Brandon Cooks, sorry. And I was not happy with that either. I mean, it just doesn't seem like it's working out as a fantasy perspective. It works out for their team because they somehow still string wins together. They score a lot of points, but it's just so... this many, that many, you know? I mean, who's going to get it this week? Who's going to get it that week? And they change it up so often that I really don't like playing anybody from New Orleans. And then once you start talking about wide receiver 2 and 3, I'm out completely. But I don't ever draft Michael Thomas either.
Well, I disagree with you on Michael Thomas. I love Michael Thomas this year. I want him in just about any league I can get him. I had my chance this time, but I felt like I had to go running back. And, of course, my favorite running back that's available at that point in the draft in the second round was there for me. So I couldn't pass up on Howard. But, you know, like I told you guys in the beginning of the show, like I like to go Jordy Nelson, Michael Thomas. That, I think, is a good 1-2 combination at wide receiver, and then I'm set. And then I'll just grab a bunch of running backs after that and not grab a receiver till, you know, a little later on. This draft is going a little different. So I grabbed Stephon Diggs in the sixth round. He's going to be their wide receiver 1 there. I don't think he'll put up wide receiver 1 numbers, but I think he could put up high-end wide receiver 2 numbers. I think he could be a decent flex. You know, if Keenan Allen goes down, which hopefully that's not the case this year, but if he does, I don't feel like I'm completely screwed at my wide receiver 2 position. And of course, this year is already starting with all the injuries and everything going on. I mean, we had a guy draft Jordan Reed, but who knows? There's mixed reports of, well, he'll be ready by week one. Oh, he won't be ready by week one. He's one of those guys, you know, that you never know about. But let's look at what else has happened in the drafts, so guys, are early, in the earlier rounds, because we are in the sixth round, as I mentioned, just finishing it up, as a matter of fact. Mm-hmm. Sammy Watkins in the third round, to me, was a reach. I don't like Sammy Watkins at all this year. Carlos Hyde in the fourth, too. I don't like that pick at all, but I know why people are drafting him. There's some hype around him, and he's a starting running back at this point. So I see why people would reach on him. Dalvin Cook is interesting to me. He's a guy I would like to get in the fifth round. He's a guy who I've been trying to get in the fifth round. Most times I succeed. Steve, he's another rookie running back. You know, yeah. I know you have some hesitation about rookie running backs. What is your thoughts, though, on Dalvin Cook?
Fourth and fifth round is where I shoot for those guys, even later if I can, because I just don't like to take a risk on a brand new player. Yeah, you can get all the good, you know, rumors from training camp, and boy, he's really gelling well with so-and-so, and everybody likes him, and he's popular in the locker room, but until you get into a real competitive situation, it's really hard to judge how that guy's going to do for fantasy, and so I like to wait on those. I mean, by all means, if you want to draft Christian McCaffrey in the third round, be my guest. I love to play with people like that in the league, because then, you know, I can grab good talent way afterwards and no problem. But you asked me about Dalvin Cook. I don't know. Haven't seen anything on him yet.
That's surprising. I mean, there's been quite a bit on him, actually. He's been looking great in training camp. He's on the depth chart. He's listed as their number one over Latavius Murray. So you got to think, at this point, he's going in to the season as the starting running back, which in itself is already impressive. That's what makes me, you know, because Joe Mixon, there was a report saying that, a Cincinnati reporter saying that he would be surprised if Jeremy Hill's not the starter week one. And, you know, you hear all that kind of stuff about, you know, Christian McCaffrey, they want to get involved, but Jonathan Stewart's going to be there. Leonard Fournette, they listed on their depth chart in Jacksonville as a co-starter. You know, you're hearing all these reports on these, you know, talented rookie running backs that we're all looking to see, oh, what could they become this year? Could somebody become the next Ezekiel Elliott of this year or the next Jordan Howard of this year? You know, that's what everybody's trying to chase for. And, you know, there's a lot of mixed reports on most of these guys. The only one to me that seems like there's not is Dalvin Cook. That's what makes me so much more interested in him than really any of the rookies. I just like Joe Mixon's talent better. That's why I took him where I did and not Dalvin Cook. But, I mean, Mike, am I off here on Dalvin Cook, or you're seeing the same thing as me?
You know, I like what I'm seeing over there. The one thing that gives me a lot of apprehension over there is the Minnesota line. I'm just really not on board with what that team can do as far as the run game. I don't see them being very successful on offense this year. I think their defense is going to be pretty solid, but I just don't really see a lot of offensive production. I like people like Kyle Rudolph better on that team. Stephon Diggs, not so much, or Adam Thielen, I'm really not too high on either.
Not hooked on a Thielen there?
Yeah, it just doesn't seem like they're going to be a high-octane, high-volume team. So that's what gives me the apprehension about Dalvin Cook. Now, in comparison and contrast to Joe Mixon, I really like Joe Mixon this year. I think that's going to be a really easy job to get. I think Cincinnati, if they can kind of get their tempo going in a game and play the game they want to play, they are a fairly run-heavy team, and they will punch the ball down your throat, whereas Minnesota, they want to, but they just don't have the line for it. So I like him. I like Mixon over Cook. I definitely will be grabbing Mixon over Cook in most of my drafts if I'm going to grab a rookie that early. I'm more with Steve on that aspect. I need to see him on the field before I start going crazy.
Nick, can I ask you something about, because you mentioned two rookie players last year. You mentioned Ezekiel Elliott and Jordan Howard. Personally, I think a lot of people heard or saw Ezekiel Elliott, saw his talent, and then saw the situation that he found himself in Dallas with that offensive line, and put two and two together and said, this guy has a very good possibility of being really good this year.
Sure.
But You're a Bears fan, so you're the perfect person to ask. Did you feel the same way about Jordan Howard? And if so, preseason, like before the season, why did you think he was going to be such a superstar?
Honestly, I didn't. I didn't see the writing on the wall for Jordan Howard. That one, I did not make that prediction last year. I didn't know what was going to happen. You know, Jeremy Langford had the job in the beginning of the season. I thought he'd be okay. I really wasn't 100% sure of what we had in Jordan Howard. I mean, there was talk that maybe he could, you know, he could overtake the job because Jeremy Langford didn't look extremely great. What he was doing the season prior. So no, I didn't see the writing on the wall for Jordan Howard, especially to do what he did when he had the starting role.
All right, that helps me defend my position a little bit, because I, like you asked me about these rookie running backs, and I haven't heard, if you want to say like that Ezekiel Elliott situation, I haven't heard of any of them falling into that situation with the talent where I feel comfortable like, oh yeah, this guy's got, you know, 75 to 85% chance of being a superstar this year.
True, but you know, also, you have to think about this. Dallas is one of those teams everybody talks about. You know, even if you're not a fan, people talk about
America's team,
Dallas,
baby.
Cowboys.
America's team.
Right, exactly. So everybody knows the Dallas Cowboys. Everybody, you know what I mean? Like, they're in the news just because they are, as I said, America's team. But, you know, that's just it. You know, but, yeah, so that's why, but like I said, I think that's why people are looking for the next Ezekiel Elliott, because they saw what happened, and people didn't think that it was going to happen, and they were surprised when it did happen, so they're trying to get the jump this season of what's going to happen. I think that's why people are paying attention more to these rookie running backs. Plus, there was a lot of rookie running backs taken this year early in the draft.
Yeah.
So, you know, this is touted as was one of the best talented running back drafts in a while. What I've been looking into, and these are very talented players. So we'll have to see how that turns out. But, you know, let's look at the draft, what's happened. Let's get away from the rookie running backs, because we're getting past that point. You know, a lot of running backs are getting taken. I mean, it really screwed up what I wanted to do in the seventh round, to be honest. I'm not happy with how it went. I took Derek Carr as my quarterback and my tight end at this point because I didn't like any of the running backs left. I usually go a lot more running back heavy in my mocks, so I'm getting a little disappointed. I'm not getting guys. I mean, you know, let's see. In the draft so far, there have been, let me see, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
15, 16, 17, 18, 19. He's counting my running backs right now.
Yeah, that's it. I'm counting all of your running backs.
They need a little counter at the
37,
top.
37 running backs taken, and we're only in the eighth round.
Yeah. Wow.
I mean, that is incredible. Now we got Derrick Henry's gone. Theo Riddick's gone. I mean, somebody in the beginning of the seventh round, for God's sakes, New England Fan 12 took Terrence West. I mean, my goodness. It's just crazy the amount of running back getting taken off the board. And I'm not liking it. I don't like it. So
I think what this has to do with mostly is if people have a memory from last year. I think people remember week 13, week 12, when you're sitting there digging deep trying to find that running back, and there wasn't any. There was just nothing available. So I think it's one of those once bitten, twice shy type things.
I get it, and I agree. I think that's exactly what's happening. I mean, look, this is, like I said before at the beginning of this trip, this is the year of running backs. I mean, because this is what people are grabbing for. They want their running backs and they want them early. This is what you guys got to do. You know, and we have some smart fans here drafting with us for the most part, because they listen to our show. So immediately they were drawn here to draft with us in Sleeperbot. And, you know, they know that running backs go early, especially when you draft with me, Mike, and Steve. We like to get our running backs. I mean, for God's sakes, Steve has 4 running backs, and Mike took 3 in the first 3 rounds. Mm-hmm. So,
and the guys around you have 4 and 4 as well. So, just within the pick, 9 through 12, that's already 16 running backs plus your it's three. Insane. That's almost 20 running backs in just five teams right there.
It's insane. It's insane. And you know what? Like, what's going to happen to me because of everybody going so running back heavy is I'm probably going to get shafted in the running back position. I might be able to get one more running back on this team, but I think four is going to be my limit. I think that's how it's going to end up happening because just so many teams are overdrafting running backs. And listen, like, here's the thing. Like, we're getting to a point, though, where these running backs shouldn't be drafted this high. Like, some of these guys, like Samaje Perine, like, I know the hype around them, but again, another rookie running back, you know, with reports already coming out that Rob Kelly's supposed to be the starter there. And, you know, because Samaje Perine is not getting down the pass protection, and Rob's looking really good in training camp. So, you know, I don't know. And this guy doesn't even have Rob Kelly, who drafted him, on his team.
Yeah, that's tough to do. That's definitely a combo you got to have both pieces of, I think.
Absolutely. You hit the nail on the head. When you are drafting running backs, especially these guys, like I said, like Samaje Perine, like Jonathan Stewart was just taken, you know, and now CJ Procise, you know. I mean, like, these guys are guys you want to pair with who you have, and otherwise, why even bother taking them? Like, what, you know, CJ Procise, I mean, unless you have Eddie Lacy, what, like, why? And like, what value is he going to have?
You know what I noticed too in this draft is because it went so running back crazy, I wasn't able to get Derrick Henry. So he was drafted before I had a chance to grab him. I have DeMarco Murray. I would have loved to have him. I managed to back up Freeman, but I would have loved to have both of those, I don't want to call them committees, but handcuffs. And they, like, people are grabbing whoever is available. Any name they recognize that might actually hold that football and run down the field a few steps.
Yeah, you know, what's crazy, too, is, you know, looking at this draft right now. So, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. So, Doug Martin went in the 7th round. His handcuffed Jaquizz Rodgers went in the 8th round to a different team. I mean, it's insane. I love you fans for joining us today, but you guys are, wow, surprising me. Really surprising me. It's incredible.
Running back vicious.
Right? I mean, look, I got to go with James White here. I don't see him as a handcuff. I see him as a guy who's very involved in the passing game, who's a running back. And that's what I have left. That is my 4th running back because that's what's left. You know what? I didn't even see Rob Kelly out there. Jeez, I just mentioned he's a starter. And Steve, you cleverly took him. Yeah. And you took Jordan Matthews, who I do like.
You slept on Fat Rob. That's what will happen.
Well, you know, he is a nice pillow.
That's where I like to sleep. I like to sleep on Fat Rob.
Oh, boy. See, and now there's running backs left. Like, I'm looking, you know, Matt Forte. I don't want any piece of. Especially after the Quincy Enunwa news, you know, which in case you guys haven't heard, is on the IR with a neck injury, so he won't even be playing for the whole season. Thomas Rawls, you know who I'm going to take here, and I'm going to follow the trend that everybody else has. I'm just going to follow the trend because I need running backs.
Murray.
I'm taking Jamal Williams here.
Oh, nice.
I don't have Ty Montgomery. I have Jamal Williams in case I'm right. That Ty Montgomery isn't going to be the starter when the season starts. So well, yeah, you would hope so, Mike. He's, if this were
catching the ball a lot because he's on my team.
Yeah, that's why I'm saying you would hope.
No, I make phone calls and stuff.
Oh yeah, you make phone calls, huh? That's interesting.
Yeah, you got an in. You got an in at training camp. All right.
Yes. You know, here's the one thing now I'm starting to think about is, like, you know, I mentioned before earlier on, I'm going to try to get Jeremy Hill as my handcuff. I don't know if that's going to even happen now.
Yeah.
Because I've got 3 wide receivers. Now I've got 5 running backs. One that I'm like, I don't know if I even really wanted him, which is Jamal Williams, but I took him because there's not a whole lot left. And, you know, but I got my quarterback and tight end. So at this point, for the next, 5 rounds, I'm really, or, well, 3 of the 5 rounds, I'm going to be drafting just bench spots and, you know, just stocking up on sleeper picks at this point, you know, before I get my kicker and defense. But, you know, this is just an interesting draft to me. But let's look at some other things that are going on that have happened in this draft, besides the, you know, amazing amount of running backs that have gone. So, you know, there's guys I see as wide receivers that, you know, we always say the wide receiver position is pretty deep. You know, I don't know, guys. I feel like this is the most shallowest wide receiver pool there has been in a while. Am I crazy, or is anybody else here agree with me?
I don't know. I mean, I just grabbed Rishard Matthews in the 12th round, and I mean, I really like how he's going to do this year. I mean, I think he's going to be just as good as he was last year, and he was a wide receiver one plenty of weeks. So
he was before they drafted Corey Davis and signed Eric Decker. I mean, you really think Rishard Matthews is going to be, like, you know, a number one again? I don't.
I don't think he'll be a number one. I think he'll have weeks where he's a number one. I still think he'll be a good fantasy value.
See, I don't know. Maybe I'm just too much of a... When I try to draft players, I'm not satisfied unless I think the person's going to be consistently putting up double-digit points a week. If I don't have a guy who I think can put up double-digit points every week, I'm not happy with the player. I don't know. I don't like to guess what week a guy's going to do well.
I like to play different matchups, and I like to have good options when it comes to those matchups.
God, that sounds so annoying. Why would you want to play the matchups? Why not just have a guy that's good every week?
Yeah, but how many guys, Nick,
every round, right?
Yeah, how many guys can you actually draft on your team that you feel like there's got to be a round at some point where you're like, okay, there's no more guys I feel that are consistent double digit every week, right?
Well, you know, my sleepers are guys that I see. Listen, when I pick sleeper picks, I don't pick sleeper picks because I think, oh yeah, they could be like good some of the games. I pick sleeper picks because I think they could be good every week.
If they start, or if they become full time,
right, exactly. Like if these guys, like who is one of my sleep, you know, like Joe Williams, for example, you know, he may not start if they don't cut Carlos Hyde on the 49ers, but I don't see Carlos Hyde being the starter the whole season.
Gotcha. Okay.
And once that's the case, I think Joe Williams will be the starter. And I think he'll do well each week. You know, I'm a believer in trying to get those guys that, like, you know, are like the rookie running backs. You know, like last year, somebody did get Jordan Howard on their team, like me. And when Jeremy Langford went down, that was it. Jordan Howard became your starter, and you didn't look back. You know, you were getting double-digit points almost every week from him.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. I'm just not a believer. Like, you know. I look at guys like, I don't know, like we talked about before, Willie Snead. I don't believe he's a guy I could put in my lineup every week. I don't want to draft a guy like that.
Yeah, but
you know, not until late. I understand that gets to a point, Steve, because I think I know where you're going. I know that gets to a point, Steve, where like you just have to draft guys because there's not a lot left, and it could be like, or at least a boom or bust type of guy like that. Yeah. You just have to draft because there's no options left.
Well, and you don't want to play against him also. Like, you'd rather have that weapon on your team and not use him every single week than have somebody, you know, run up against somebody who does have him when he blows up.
Well, of course. I mean, yeah, nobody wants to play against a guy who's going to blow up, but at that point, sometimes those guys are hard to predict.
Well, for Snead, for example, if Michael Thomas had a season-ending injury, would Snead not become a double-digit point a week guy?
I don't think he could handle double coverage. I don't think he's the type of guy that has that breakaway talent that can get away from defenders to be able to get himself open. I think if Michael Thomas goes down, that team offensively is pretty screwed. But that's just my opinion.
Oh, it's good. It's good info.
Yeah. I mean, I just think Michael Thomas is one of those guys that can break away from the defender, that will have, you know, can get up there, you know, and get the ball easier than Willie Snead can. You know, that's just, you know, Willis needs a better, like, slot guy. That's his role.
Right.
But, you know, there's, looking at this draft, I mean, I don't see, I'm trying to look to see if there's anything I would question at this point. Steve, is there any picks that you'd say you're like, whoa, why did this guy get drafted at this spot?
Two that I noticed, and it seemed like they went opposite directions. So either Kyle Rudolph went up, and Martellus Bennett and Tyler Eifert went down. One of those two things happened, because I haven't seen Rudolph get drafted before either one of those guys at all yet. And for some reason, it seems like Martellus Bennett's getting drafted a lot earlier. So I'm kind of curious why he fell so late.
You know, so Kyle Rudolph has been going within the, you know, top 10 tight end, more so top 7, actually, from what I've been seeing. So Kyle Rudolph's been going up there. I think the problem with, like, Martellus Bennett and Tyler Eifert, here's my thoughts. Tyler Eifert, for one, we know his injury history. You know, that is just well known. And when he isn't injured, he's just good for maybe a touchdown or two every other week. You know, he's not consistent enough to me. And then Martellus Bennett, I mean, Green Bay and, you know, the tight end position haven't really mixed since, you know, JerMichael Finley. So even Jared Cook didn't really put up great numbers last year. So that's my opinion on what's going on. Sorry, guys. I am trying to sift through the junk that is left here. Man, my time's up.
So, I mean, it's okay. You can choose you started the draft, so you can choose a player.
Yeah, I know, but I'm taking forever. I don't even know who I want.
Well, you're trying to do a damn radio show at the same time. It's not easy.
I know. Well, you know what? I don't believe this guy will be any good, like, do well enough to be warranted a draft spot, but I'm going to take John Ross. And I definitely don't think Kevin White's going to be worth a draft spot either, Steve. So
I need bodies, man. I just need warm bodies at this point. Just trying to fill up.
I hear you, man. I get it. And see, what I tell you guys, too, Jeremy Hill was definitely going to get drafted before it got back to me, and that's what happened. That is certainly what
Batten
happened.
Batten got drafted before it went back to you.
Look at this. I mean, every running back on here is getting drafted. It's un-freaking believable.
I'm impressed. You could still get Phillip Rivers, Cam Newton, Matt Stafford as quarterback. If you waited this long, how many rounds is this? 14th, 13th, 14th round already?
Yeah. You know what? Speaking of that,
oh. I think
I'm getting him. Boom!
I hate you sometimes, Nick.
Oh, you don't even have a quarterback.
I hate right there. I feel like, Steve, you let him into that one. But
wow, Mike, you don't even have a quarterback on your team.
No.
Well, not like it really matters. I mean, shit, there's Phillip Rivers, Stafford, who's okay. Eli Manning, though, Dak Prescott. I mean, there's still quite a bit of quarterback. There you go, Dak Prescott. There's your boy.
I rocked him last year on my championship league. He did great. I love that guy. He's
right. I mean, you know what's funny is we're now, what is this, the 12th round, right? Because there's 15. Yeah, 12th round here. And we're already seeing kickers and defenses going. I mean, we had Denver's defense go in the 11th round. Unbelievable.
Yeah, that's been a crazy one.
It's been crazy because I feel like, you know, I don't know what's going on with this draft, but just a lot of guys that I didn't expect to go just went so fast. I mean, it really isn't like, you know, I mean, Darren McFadden to not the guy who has Ezekiel Elliott's a little funny. Matt Forte, you know, don't give me any part of that. You know, Thomas Rawls, did he even go to the Eddie Lacy owner? No, of course not. Why would that be a thing? I mean, it's just crazy. It's just you guys are all awesome, but it's just so funny. And here we got even one of our guys here that are drafting with us, Gus DeBus, saying, speaking about stupid downgrades, why is Dak going so late, round 12?
I made sure to like that. Like, yep.
I know. So, you know, here's the thing. I think in this draft in particular, he's going late because nobody's drafting quarterbacks.
Yep.
Everybody's just getting chasing the skill positions. So why, you know, why not? Why not wait till the 12th round? You don't have to grab them if nobody's, you know, trying to take them. Maybe it won't be the same in every draft, but in here, that's why I went the 12th round.
Well, it just shows you how crazy tough it is to draft with like-minded individuals. You know, you got a lot of people that are like, you don't need a quarterback early. You don't need a defense early. You don't need a kicker early. There's all these streamable positions. Tight end's another one. So go get the ones that you have a tougher time streaming, that you want the – you want to get the guys with the opportunities with the matchups. And I know, like I always say, it always sounds cliche, but that's what we do here. We try to find the best opportunity with the best matchup. That's where the best points come from.
You know, and here's the thing. In most mock drafts I've done, this is probably the first one I've ever had to draft two quarterbacks because they didn't like anything else out there. I really, you know, and I mean, I know, Mike, you think it's just Steve's influence that he said Cam Newton was out there, but I was just like, yeah. I was just like, there was nothing though. I mean, really, there really is just like garbage left. I mean, look, Kenny Stills, he's not going to do anything now that Jay Cutler's
there. Taylor Gabriel, come on, what more do you want? Deion Lewis.
Yeah, Deion Lewis might not even be on the team in a couple weeks.
Right.
I mean, Ted Ginn, you know, he's not doing anything. You know, it's just getting crazy. It's getting silly. And you know what's funny is all the running backs that have gone. So we've got Gio Bernard, Darren McFadden, Matt Forte, Deion Lewis, guys like this that we've met, you know, listed so far. And, you know, oh, he just got taken. But it finally, Latavius Murray at the 151st pick got drafted.
Crazy.
Crazy. And, you know, yeah, right, Steve? It's ridiculous.
Because he could be a starting running back.
He could. I mean, just because they're saying Dalvin Cook's a starter right now doesn't necessarily mean that's a definite going into week one.
Yeah.
It's wild, guys. I mean, you know, look, like, honestly, I'm thinking about drafting my defense right now. Because, I mean, I got the Chiefs defense on the board right now, and I got the Vikings. Both really going to be really good defenses. You know, at this point, I mean, what do you guys think of that right now, Steve?
Defense, yeah, I'd go for it, man. Like you already said, you didn't see anything else you liked. You went with a quarterback. Might as well get a defense that you don't have to switch out every week. You know? Kansas City? Is that what you're looking at?
Or yeah, the Kansas City or the Vikings, you know?
Yeah.
But, I mean, I don't feel like I can go wrong. All right, so I went with the Vikings defense. You know, Chiefs defense was taken by Gus the Bus. I don't know if that's exactly who he wanted, but he said it worked. So that's who he wanted. So I went with the Vikings. See, now Steve's taking Jonathan Williams. I doubt he even knows who Jonathan Williams is.
I'm not even 100% sure I know who Jonathan Williams is.
He's the backup to LeSean McCoy. Yeah. If anything, you should have taken him, Mike.
Yeah, Mike. Sleeping.
Yeah, instead of David and Joku.
I'm just kidding. Yeah, you don't need to answer that.
See, I don't even have Frank Gore. I think I'm going to take Marlon Mack here. Why not? Screw it.
I thought he actually... Oh, no, that was Jamal Williams. I thought you actually took him earlier.
Who? Jonathan Williams?
Yeah.
Oh, no. I took the handcuff to your Ty Montgomery.
Yeah.
Well, this works, Mike. Yeah. I will trade you Jonathan Williams for Derrick Henry. So then we'll switch handcuffs. How about that?
That, see, I love it. I like where you're thinking, Steve. Even though you hosed me on the Cam Newton call, I think that I think we could make that work.
All right.
Oh my gosh! Wait, are you? You can't be serious, Mike.
Oh, we just made a deal.
I know this is a mock draft, but say this was a league. There's no way you could make that trade.
Oh, no, Derrick Henry in a PPR league? You can't deal.
Yeah, well, I mean, considering, too, look where you drafted Derrick Henry compared to where Steve just got Jonathan Williams.
Right.
You'd have to be crazy to give that up on a one-for-one basis.
All right. All right, let me make you a deal then. I'll give you Williams, Fat Rob, and...
Ooh,
all right, fine. Williams and... Devontae Parker for Derrick Henry and Emmanuel Sanders.
Oh.
Even that's not a good deal.
Yeah, you had me for a second. Like, if you had just stopped without Emmanuel Sanders, we maybe had a
Oh, 2-for-1? Right, I'll do a 2-for-1. Because I need to make space for a defense and kicker. I'll do a 2-for-1.
There you go. I definitely do that trade.
But, then I have no wide receivers.
Mike, how many leagues can I be with being with you, and how many trades am I allowed to do with you? Because I could use a real, like, I'm sure I'll be able to get some nice upgrades trading with you, man. You are just too easy in trades.
No, this is mock
my
trade.
My God. Yeah, well, yeah, I know. Thank you. I know this is mock trading, Steve. Okay? Okay? I know this is a mock draft. Got it? This won't be teams we'll own. Thank God, too, by the way, because I really hate this team.
Yeah, me
this
too.
This is not like, yeah, I like my starters, but that's about it.
I really like my team on this one. I think I'd be pretty stoked about it.
Yeah, it's interesting. Yeah, go ahead. Tell me
how you went, like, because this is the strategy you were kind of going with, right? So tell me how you think it worked out for you, Steve.
For me or for Mike? I was saying Mike's team, I think, is kind of interesting. Like, I'd give it a second look. For me, I don't think the experiment worked. I'd have to have my wide receivers. They would, two or three of them would really have to become superstars this year for this to work. Because when did I take the first one? Seventh round, I started taking wide receivers. So I'm not happy with it. Weird experiment. Didn't like it. I would go wide receiver quite a bit earlier. I'm going to wait on quarterback for sure. I got Aaron Rodgers, but like I saw now, I could have got Cam Newton and Dak Prescott and Matt Stafford way, way, way later in draft. So
Yeah, it's incredible. I mean, really, you definitely could have gotten your quarterback later. This is why I am not a fan of taking quarterbacks early. Just because, you know, you can get them like whenever you want. Really, it doesn't really matter, you know. So, but you know, we're getting to the tail end of the draft here, guys. You know, it's the last round. So, I'd like to give a big shout out to our fans who have joined us. New England Fan 12, he joins us in just about every mock. Thank you, and thanks for listening to the show. Aiden Fisher, thank you, bro. Louis G, Greek Dog 1, Tom B1280. Kagi, I guess, Cage, I don't know, K-A-G-G-E, R-Fish-5, C-H-S-T Cannon, Gus the Bus, thank you all for joining us on today's mock draft. This was a lot of fun. I think we all had a great time. We are running out of time soon, guys. Last thoughts, though, on the draft. You know, Steve, just last thoughts overall on the whole draft.
Overall, it was an eye opener because, I think as we've mentioned a couple times, it got difficult. It got pretty difficult to find talent. So if I just look real, real quick over the teams, who pops out at me, who I think would be a challenge, bro, Louis G would be a challenge to play against. I think, man, Tom B 12 daddy or 12 addy. Not bad. Not great. Not bad. Scary.
His running backs are a little weak.
Yeah. I think Cage probably did probably the most balanced team, I think, at this point.
And Nick. Yeah, thanks. Yeah, I agree, Steve. I think it did pretty balanced, too.
Yeah. Which one was you again? Nick? No. Yeah, you did. I mean, I think you did as well as you could from your spot with what was coming to you. I think you did very well.
If I'm being more, you know, humble, yes, I think I did the best with what I could. You know, with what was available to me. You know, I think this is the best I could have done. I mean, looking at how many running backs were just going so fast. I mean, I didn't expect the amount of running backs to go. Between the fourth and fifth round after I took Joe Mixon, I was just kind of blown away. And then, of course, even, you know, the sixth and seventh rounds, too. There were a lot of running backs I was looking at that point that I thought I could get, you know, like a Doug Martin, like, you know, even Frank Gore at that point I thought I could get. You know, there were options I thought that would have fallen to me. That definitely didn't, you know. So it was shocking. But what about you, Mike? Any final thoughts on this draft tonight?
You know, I just kind of completely agreed with everything you guys were saying right there. I mean, there was a few of them that I was like, man, you know, I can't believe you'd do this, or I can't believe you'd do that, or, you know, things of that nature. But then once you kind of started seeing where the draft started going, it wasn't really that hard to figure out what was going on there. I mean, people were grabbing players because there weren't any players available in that position anymore. I mean, just looking at this list still, I mean, Chris Thompson, Marlon Mack, Rex Burkhead. It's like, man, this is just a sad bunch of people, but you got to have running backs, so you've got to pick who you can pick. I don't know. It was a really fun draft. I definitely enjoyed it.
Can I nominate Chest Cannon for this draft's if-then team? And by if-then, I mean if this happens, then his team will be good. So if Sammy Watkins and Alshon Jeffrey can stay healthy, if Doug Martin can regain his starting job, if Kareem Hunt can take over the starting job, that team could be very good. But there's a lot of ifs.
A lot of ifs, especially if Jay Ajayi could prove me wrong and not become a bust like I think, and if Bilal Powell could actually carry the Jets, then yes, I would say you can nominate him for the if-then team.
Okay, good.
That is totally fine. We got people leaving. So, you know, with this, we'll wrap it up here, guys. We're not even going to talk about the 15th round. We're not going to talk anymore. So let's wrap it up. You know, again, you can find us at sleepwire.com. Follow us on Twitter at Sleepwire Show. You can also follow myself at Sleepwire Nick on Twitter, or at SW Nick on Sleeperbot.
I'm on Sleeperbot at SW Steve, and I just drafted Chris Moore. Professor Chris is my last draft in the 15 round.
Woo! Professor Moore.
You can find me at Dr. Kane21 on Twitter, and then Dr. Kane on Sleeperbot.
All right, guys. Thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate all your time. For Mike and Steve, I'm Nick Summerall saying so long, everybody.